Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective, featuring the friars from St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And now, Dominican Dimensions.
Welcome to Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Peter Tottleben, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick's Parish in Columbus. Today I'm joined in the studio by Father Charles Schonk and Father John Corbett. Let's begin with a prayer. Hail Mary,
full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So, we've been looking at the scriptures a little bit, and there's an interesting line in the first letter of John, chapter 3, verse 9. He says, "No one who is begotten by God commits sin, because God's seed remains in him. He cannot sin, because he is begotten by God. No one who is begotten by God commits sin. He cannot commit sin, because he is begotten by God." So, I go to confession pretty regularly. We at St. Patrick's hear lots of confessions pretty regularly. How could what St. John is saying possibly be true, given the fact that we all know through daily experience our own sins? Or John himself says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. He says in the same letter. How can both of these be true? And we were kind of wondering about that and trying to think how to reconcile these two different aspects of our faith. And I think it leads to some pretty interesting ideas about what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, right?
There are a couple of ways of getting this wrong. Or actually, there are any number of ways of getting this wrong, and we find most of them. One way of getting this wrong is to be either untrue to the Word of God and say, well, it obviously doesn't mean what it says, or untrue to our own experience of ourselves as sinners. One way that some traditions have adopted is to say that if you were truly a disciple and you truly had the Word of God in you, you never would sin. Ha-ha, you have sinned. This means that you haven't really received the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Despite all the symptoms, all the church going, all the rosaries, all the fasts on Friday, despite everything at all, God just hasn't picked you. And you have received his grace, and that's why you still sin. If that were true, then, of course, the long lines of confession would just be a confession of despair.
Yeah.
You know? So how would you handle that? Well, one destructive way to handle that is to say, well, I guess I don't sin. Who knew? Here, I thought I was a pretty rotten guy, but it turns out, as a matter of fact, I must be pretty splendid. And the things I'm tempted to call sins really are just characteristics of behavior.
Yeah.
Okay? So I'm not really a sinner. That's one way of doing it. And then, of course, that drives you into falsehood. Then you're not truthful about your life. Or you go the other route and say, well, John doesn't really mean it. Obviously, we sin. So he's just blowing smoke. He's not really telling us how things really are. So it's a bit of a problem. I mean, it's a problem for expectations for Christian life. I mean, if you really expect that you'll never sin, you're either going to falsify your experience or you're going to start lying to yourself in some other way.
Sure.
So, anyway.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves.
We deceive ourselves. So this is kind of a conundrum.
Yeah. So, how do we resolve the aporia? Right, you know, is John just confused? Is he just writing things? Does John just get in this circular mode of writing that he has and just kind of gets lost in it and loses track of his thread of thought?
There must be a deeper truth that St. John is getting at, and I would appeal to Father John Corbett for perhaps a way out of this dilemma.
Well, and here I am with the solution.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. No, here's the, I think one way of looking at it would be to talk about the what Saint, the God letter says, which is about who is the person who doesn't sin? It's the one with the seed of God in him. But the seed is understood as the baptismal seed, the catechesis of the word.
Yeah, the seed is the word of God.
The seed is the word of God. So that means that there's something about receiving the word of God which makes you immune to sin. Now, the thing about us is that we're not always receiving the word of God.
Sure.
I mean, there is a receptivity in us where we hear the good news, we believe, we say yes to the Lord, because we've heard the word. We've been convicted, even of our sins.
You
know, we've heard him. And then when we hear him and we don't reject him, right, when we don't say, that isn't true or it doesn't apply to me or it's not really him talking, but when we really hear the word and yield to it, in that moment, in that state of being, it's incompatible with sin.
It's interesting to think, Rick, because the word is transformative. You can think about like a... you can think about a human experience first, like if you meet somebody who just says something that just really gets down to the depth of who you are, someone who really connects with you when they communicate with you. It's almost like you you come alive in a certain way. Well, if that's true with like human speech, we can kind of apply that analogically or using an analogy to God. You know, where God, who's the Logos, who knows everything, who knows the deepest truth about all things, looks at you and addresses you and speaks a word to you, all of a sudden he brings you alive. The speaking of the word is a transformative event in your life, right? And God is addressing us, you know, bringing that transformation from moment to moment.
Yeah It's impossible truly to receive the word and to sin at the same time. If we truly receive the word, we truly hear the word, you know, which is what the root meaning of obedience is, to hear, you know, then we must act in accordance with it.
Yeah, you can't be obedient and disobedient simultaneously. So right. when you're receiving, you're being addressed and being transformed by the word of God, and that word of God is calling out this response from you, right? The word of God can't simultaneously be drawing out this response to you that brings you alive and brings you closer to him, and simultaneously you be going away from him. I mean, it's a contradiction in terms. Okay. It's like going north and south at the same time.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that's the real sense of the passage. It's kind of, there's a connection here to, so you have to think about our frailty, our vulnerability. I mean, I we can receive a word, be transformed. I mean, hear it, know it, believe it, be recollected in it. And then 3 minutes later, somebody cuts us off in traffic, you know?
Yeah.
And here we're doing great, and God has spoken to us, and our soul was illumined, and then, you know.
This is the church.
You jerk! You say, and then what happened? Well, I suppose you could talk about forgetfulness of being.
Sure. This is the Dominican dimension, of course. Right?
That's right.
It wouldn't be the Dominican dimension without the forgetfulness of being.
That's right. But the creative, I mean, we have our being, of course. It's not like God makes us and moves us like puppet strings, you know. But there's an ongoing act by which God wills that we are. And so that means we're radically dependent on him for every moment, for every bit of being that we possess. Just as God has to sustain us by willingness to be, he also has to will to sustain us in grace. And of ourselves, we can't stay there, you know?
Right. It's this begetting is an ongoing thing that St. John talks about. And I don't know... I must confess, I haven't looked at the Greek for this scripture passage.
Oh, wow.
But I think it's...
How could you?
Perhaps significant that every time John talks about being begotten, He says is begotten, not has been begotten at some past time.
Is being begotten.
Right, but he who is begotten, right? And so this emphasis on the connection with God by grace being something that is always in the present moment.
Well, sometimes we think of a state of grace like that. Like we think that a state of grace is something that God does to us at a moment at a moment in time, and then he just sort of leaves us, and we just sort of tootle on our own with grace now inside of our soul, right? I go to confession, the priest absolves me, I'm now in a state of grace, and I just kind of go on with my life being in a state of grace. No, what's actually happening is God is continually addressing you. God is continually addressing you, keeping that grace alive within you.
Right.
And of course, it's really easy to forget because it's so much easier to deal with sensible things, right? You know, just things that are right there and immediate to my sense. I'm an animal. I do so well with animal things, right? That like when I try to think about spiritual things, it's really hard, right? Right. I mean, I'm fine right after I receive Holy Communion. I'm not forgetting my being, right? You know, but then 10 minutes later when I'm in the parking lot, oh, it's all done.
Well, St. Paul talks about this, right? He says, we look in the mirror and then we look away and we forget who we are, right?
Yeah.
It's interesting that the scriptures, when they refer to, Socrates thought that sin or ethical wrongdoing was tied to ignorance. You know, that's the only way you could explain doing wrongdoing. He didn't know any better.
Yep.
But the scriptures, I think, have a slight difference there. They would say it's a form of ignorance, but they would say that really what sinfulness amounts to is forgetfulness. They forgot the Lord was their Redeemer. You know, that's what they always say in the scriptures. What is wrong with Israel? Not that they decided to go out and worship false gods in defiance of God, it's that they forgot who God was. They didn't hold it in mind. They were not, in that sense, recollected.
They forgot.
Unless, they forgot.
Unless you forget who we are, I'd like to remind you that you're listening to the Dominican Dimension, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name's Father Peter Tottleben. I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus, and I'm joined in the studio by Father Charles Schonk and Father John Corbett. We've been discussing this idea about sin as the forgetfulness of God, right? We were kind of talking about how we fall into sin because we forget who God is and what he does for us, right?
So, and this is a great theme, of course, and among spiritual writers is recollection, you know. Perhaps we could talk a little bit about, in the second half of the episode, how we remain recollected.
Sure.
You know, that we live in a world that is full of busyness and distraction. Perhaps the human race has never been as distracted as it is, distracted from distraction by distraction.
Yep, that's right.
Well, what are some strategies for remaining recollected?
Sure. It turns out, I mean, it's a long tradition in Christianity. The first monks, you know, when they went out to the desert, when they said, well, what do you do in the desert? They say, we keep alive the memory of God. The struggle we have every day is to keep alive the memory of God. You know, and the way they did it, you know, I mean, one of the ways they did it was actually through having, since we're talking about the word, having scripture just alive in their hearts, right? Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, they constantly were like reciting the word. I mean, when they would go out and pray, you know, I mean, you kind of sit there and meditate a lot, you know, and you kind of start to like lose focus a little bit. I know nobody around here has experience with that, but, you know, you lose focus a little bit. Right. I mean, they would actually get up and recite the scriptures, the Psalms, other parts of the scripture.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great, great practice to get into, is to memorize prayers, memorize parts of scripture, because then it becomes really part of you and you can take it wherever you go.
We have this wonderful expression for memorizing where we say, you know it by heart. Right. And as Catholics, we don't emphasize it as much as we should, but knowing the scriptures by heart. I don't know. But anyways, that's one thing. What else about keeping alive God, remembering God?
Well, I think that there is a corporate and an individual focus to this.
Sure.
As far as the individual goes, I mean, we have awareness, and then we fade away, and then by God's grace, it sharpens again, and then it fades. There's that kind of oscillation, which is normal, I think. But then there's a collective dimension to this. The whole church together remembers God. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what the Eucharistic prayer, the prayer of thanksgiving, is nothing other than a calling to mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of what God has done for us, you know. So that memorial or that... Mm-hmm. The preface where we recall the mighty deeds of God, the Eucharistic prayer, which is thanksgiving given to God for what he's done for us. The church mm-hmm. keeps alive the memory of God and therefore the presence of God. The memory is not simply recollection of a past mm-hmm. event. Memory involves that event being really present in mm-hmm. the present tense. Yeah. So remembering God for the scriptures means that he's active here and now. So the church as a group, as the body of Christ, is continually in recollection, and the world needs it, because without us or without the church, this whole memory mm-hmm. of God and therefore the whole presence of God would vanish.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a peculiar prayer which I've always thought was questionable, at least in its wording, when they talks about the shepherds of the church keep your flock from being snatched out of your hand. You yeah. know.
Sure.
There's something that you can, you know what they mean by that, but it could be worded a little differently. but there is a way in which the church, mm-hmm. through its recollection as a whole, keeps the world from falling into non-being or forgetfulness or permanent forgetfulness, you know?
Keeping the mysteries of God alive.
Keeping the mystery of God, because they can, and I mean, they will not be lost because of God's everlasting fidelity. But if it were up to us, they could be lost, and they'd be lost fast.
Yeah,
you know.
Yes, and you know that's really connected with the whole idea. Not to get off topic here, but the whole idea of development of doctrine in the church is
sure.
The church as a whole meditates on the deposit of faith given to us by Jesus Christ and the apostles. And over the centuries, you know, with the help of the Holy Spirit, unfolds, you know, these mysteries.
Makes explicit what was implicit.
Right, yeah. Right. So, you know, that whole corporate part of remembering mm-hmm. is something that's very important for us as individuals, because we can't do this on our own, right? And
yeah.
if we try, we're losing so much of the richness.
Sure.
You know, one of the great things about being Catholic is you're always going deeper, always discovering new things.
Sure.
About the truths that have been handed on to us. So remembering involves a deeper penetration of what we already have.
Yeah. St. Thomas Aquinas has this wonderful little line where he says, the thing known is in the knower and the thing loved is in the lover. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, it sounds a little, it sounds a little scholastic, but what he means is that when you know something and you're thinking about it, you're changed, right? You went from not thinking about it to thinking about it. And that means that something inside of you changed. And well, what changed inside of you? Well, that thing that you're thinking about had to come alive in you in some sense. Mm-hmm. Same thing with loving. If you go from not loving a hamburger to loving the hamburger, right? You changed on the inside somehow. Right. And how do you describe that? Well, the specific changes I went from, my affections got shaped or formed by this hamburger that I'm thinking about. Right. And that directs me in a way that directs me to it, and not to like an ice cream cone. Right.
Yeah.
So the things that I know and love come alive inside of me. Right. And so when I remember something, and then when I love the thing that I remember, that thing actually becomes alive to me. Maybe like I'm being begotten by God, right? Faith and charity, right? Actually enable us to touch God himself, right? God gives us the power through his grace to touch him directly in himself, mm-hmm. right? And when I know God through faith and through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I love God through charity and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, God himself comes alive in me. Jesus says, at the Last Supper, if anyone will love me, I will I will, my Father and I will come to him, and we will make our home within him through our knowledge, through our love, mm-hmm. through remembering and making present.
Yeah, and that's supposed to happen progressively through the whole of your Christian life. We said that we can't always remember. We fade away. Our minds mm-hmm. drift. Our being drifts. We're vulnerable mm-hmm. to sin. We're vulnerable to forgetfulness. But what happens with the life of grace, with the fidelity of God, is that this kind of presence mm-hmm. That you're talking about becomes more and more the claimant of your whole life,
sure.
your whole being. It starts with a toehold, then it gets a foothold, then it gets hold of your left arm. then it starts, starts telling you when to get up in the morning. I mean, there's a way in which the power of yeah. this takes over more and more of your life, so that you forget less and less. We're destined for heaven. We hope. Yeah. We believe. And that is really the place where there is no forgetfulness, where you see God, you really see him, and it's unlosable. For now, we live in the losable valley. We live in the shadow of death. We live in a place where God can be forgotten, and yet by the grace of God, as our lives unfold, they are more and more held by him, held in his sway, you know?
Yeah.
So that it really at the end doesn't matter so much that we forget God. The reason we don't forget God is that he hasn't forgotten us.
Hmm. Yes. No.
He remembered Israel. Do you see that in the scriptures
oh, yeah.
a lot? He remembered the mercy he had promised.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Yeah. And just on a very practical level, for us time-bound creatures, this means repetition. Over and over again. You can think of that in terms of your day, from the time you get up till the time you go to bed, paying attention to those kind of hinge points in the day when you're going from one thing to the next, remembering God at those times. You can think about it in terms of your week, Of course, we have that kind of foundation. Foundationally on Sunday, returning to God in a profound way on Sunday. You could think about it according to the church year, yeah. the various liturgical seasons. One of the great gifts we have as Catholics in comparison with Christians who don't have a liturgical sense is this returning every year, mm-hmm. And being drawn back, oh, it's Lent, it's time to remember, it's Advent, it's time to remember, mm-hmm. Who I am, what I'm about.
Well, it does turn out, just on that practical vein, one of the things that makes it hard is, we think, but we're not good at thinking, right? Some people have said that human beings are thinking things, but it's actually kind of not true. We do think, but it's like real hard. And the more abstract the thinking, the harder it is,
Right.
One of the advantages that we have as Catholics, right, is that the Christian sensibility has invaded the sensible world. It's almost like God has taken hold of all sorts of sensible things, right? So that they can be reminders to lead us back to him.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's very true. The sacramentality of our lives as Catholics, all the different physical ways, crucifixes, rosaries, holy water, the sign of the cross, involving our body in prayer, that's one thing, when you're too tired to think, when you're yeah. too tired to form a thought, to form your mind in that way, you can at least form your body, just get in a prayer posture, and offer that time bodily to the Lord,
Sure.
That's a way of remembering.
And what's great is that, The merciful God always finds ways to overcome our forgetfulness with his remembering so that we can be begotten of him and be addressed by him.
Amen.
So thank you for joining us today for the Dominican Dimension. My name is Father Peter Todelman, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. I've been joined in the studio today by Father Charles Schonk and Father John Corbett, and let's end now in prayer. O light of the Church, teacher of truth, rose of patience, ivory of chastity, freely you have poured forth the waters of wisdom. Preacher of grace, unite us with the blessed.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dominican Dimensions is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of Dominican Dimensions and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.